I was wondering if this one was going to make the "you picked it, motherfucker" Mount Rushmore. What would that be? That would be "Good Luck Chuck" is on that, right?
Yeah, well, that's the one that
prompted. That's the origin of the quote.
Right, that's the George Washington. What haven't
white
we
chicks?
Liked?
White chicks.
Yeah, because Maze picked that. Maze picked that and blames you.
I blame you.
Yeah, which is weird because I picked Gotti and I blame you, Zach.
I love that movie. File.
What do you blame me for, Zach, to complete the triangle?
Hot Rod. Oh, wait, no, you liked Hot Rod. I'll still blame you for it. Oh, yeah, Jupiter Ascending. You son of a bitch.
No, that you picked that you blame me for.
That I picked that I blame you for?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's how it works, because I pick Gotti, but I blame you. He picked White Chicks, but he blamed me.
I feel like I often pick for me.
You got to blame Good Luck Chuck on him, then.
Yeah, actually, I think because that's not something I would normally like, right? It feels like a reaction to Hot Rod. Mm. So, yeah, I'll blame that on you. Is it not so much a Mount Rushmore of "you picked it, motherfucker," but like it's turned into a game of rock, paper, scissors. Mm-hmm.
The problem, Maze, is that you're expecting Zach to have a movie that he picked that he didn't like.
That wasn't just for himself.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm looking at a lot of bangers here. A lot of bangers.
I have a feeling we're going to be making a nice little sandwich in the spreadsheet here. Just got a feeling about that.
Mm. What kind of sandwich?
That's what I'm waiting. I was searching for some sort of pedophilia joke I could make, and I like, sandwich, like peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, kids like that, right?
Your picks have been horrible, man.
It's the point. It's the point of the show. Isn't it? It's possible. I don't understand what this podcast is about.
Poppycock.
It's a fuck house.
On a weekly basis, we are consuming more concentrated bad movies than probably anybody in the history of mankind.
Poppycock.
What story? What story? What are you talking about?
Do you want lunch?
I have yet to laugh in this movie, I'll just tell you that.
You picked it, motherfucker. Just remember that.
You know the problem with Hollywood is? They make shit. Unbelievable, unremarkable shit.
I was legitimately offended.
You were offended?
I was offended.
I didn't know you could get offended.
I was offended.
This did it.
If I were gay, I wouldn't be offended.
They're fucking making shit up, I mean.
Inconsequential detail after inconsequential detail after inconsequential detail.
Please don't lie.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. I'm holding a mic in my hands and now I'm talking all alone. Okay.
Welcome to Cinephile!
As Amin spins through his Rolodex of pedophile jokes, looking for a sandwich one.
The podcast where we break down the movies you're afraid to mention love. I'm Zach Harper. That's Amin Alhassan. That's Anthony Mays. If you have submission, reminder, it needs to be 40% or lower on Rotten Tomatoes for the audience or critics score. That's how this podcast works. This week on Cinephobe, we watch the 2005 sex comedy, Deuce Bigalow, European Gigolo, the sequel to the original Deuce Bigalow, which I have not seen.
Me neither.
What are the hallmarks of the sex comedy genre?
American Pie.
Okay.
Porky's.
Okay.
What else is a sex comedy?
Yeah, we got two.
How to Be a Player.
Oh, okay.
40-year-old Virgin is classified as a sex comedy.
No, well, he doesn't have sex in it.
Well, spoiler alert, at the end, he does.
Oh, shit. I knew I should have finished that movie.
He was quick, too.
The Girl Next Door?
That's a teen movie.
Yeah.
I heard your dog drinking, by the way. So
yeah, well, now I'm closer to the bowl because I'm doing it at the table instead of on my couch. I'm trying to just switch it up a little bit.
Why did you switch? Why have you made the switch?
Because I've found that I do radio from the couch, right? And so on those days where I do radio and then we do a podcast and then we do radio again, it's just too much of me on the couch. I need to just move a little bit. I need to sit in a different position. Otherwise, my hips get all tight.
Well, you know what they say.
What do they say?
Hips don't lie.
Is that the third straight podcast you've said that with?
So now we're just doing the same podcast again.
Right. Okay.
It's not, is it even? It's not even a callback. We're just doing it again.
Yeah, we're just in reruns.
Every time is the first time.
All right, Deuce Bigelow, European Gigolo, stars Rob Schneider. Rob was having a monster stretch for him.
Rob Schneider was an animal. Then he was a woman. And now Rob Schneider is a stapler. And he's about to find out that being a stapler is harder than it looks. Rob Schneider is the stapler. Rated PG-13.
In 2004, he was in 51st Dates. He also played San Francisco Hobo in Around the World in 80 Days. Then in 2005, along with this movie, he was in The Longest Yard and Grandma's Boy. Who was he in Grandma's Boy?
Someone with a terrible accent.
He was also in The Benchwarmers and Click in 2006. We also get Eddie Griffin in this one, coming off of the movie Blast in 2004. And he had Date Movie in 2006.
And he had just done Grits and Gravy in the World Series of Dice in Chappelle's Show.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
We're also getting Gerion Grabe from The Fugitive.
So this guy is in two early Dutch Paul Verhoeven movies, Soldier of Orange and The Fourth Man. He's the bad guy in Dolph Lundgren's The Punisher. He's the bad guy in a Timothy Dalton Bond movie, The Living Daylights. And he's the bad guy in The Fugitive.
It's the second time we've mentioned Timothy Dalton's short-lived James Bond career on Cinephobe.
I mean, we're just doing reruns anyway, so.
It's funny that I would remember that, but I don't remember making the Hips Don't Lie.
You like don't three remember straight episodes.
No.
We also get Till Schweiger, who's Hugo Stiglitz.
Yes.
In Inglourious Bastards.
Yes. His IMDb page says, Germany's best known actor and most successful director.
Wow. More than Christoph Waltz?
I don't know, man. Maybe he wrote his own bio.
Maybe he did. Also, I thought Inglourious Bastards was his first American movie. I did not know that he was in.
No, he'd already movie. Wet his beak.
Yeah. Carlos Ponce, who's the yoga instructor in Couples Retreat. Cameos from Fred Armisen, Norm MacDonald, and Adam Sandler.
And Odette Fair.
Yes.
From The Mummy.
From The Mummy. Yes. Thank you, mate.
And Deuce Bigelow, male gigolo.
European Gigolo was directed by Mike Bigelow. How about that? He only has two credits on IMDb.
Please.
Directing this movie.
And?
And special thanks on a short documentary called Just Dance, which is about a belly dancer who lost her leg. And it doesn't have a year next to it, so I don't know when it came out.
You mean to tell me he didn't write or direct Deuce Bigelow, no! Male Gigolo?
No.
It's a
no.
Complete coincidence?
Complete coincidence. So I had to look up. I just started Googling him trying to find out who the fuck he is.
Same.
From transparentuk.com. Outstanding comedy performance director Mike Bigelow started his film career as a motion animator after graduating from UCLA Film School. He soon moved on to become one of his generation's most respected and prolific comedy directors.
What?
Winner of many awards. He collected a Cannes Bronze Lion for his ad for a French insurance company. His spot for Pella Windows won huge international critical acclaim, including a highly respected Emmy Award nomination. His award-winning, high-profile, effortless approach to comedy sets him apart from the rest. Mike made his feature film debut with Deuce Bigelow, European Gigolo, starring Rob Schneider. His most recent work includes Specsavers, Bud Light, Kellogg's, Verizon, and Oats and more. He is a comedy commercial director.
From an article, The Bigelow Behind Deuce Bigelow, Bay Area News Group, August 2005, he said of the first movie, I didn't think I'd like it. Then I saw it, and I thought it had a lot of heart. The character is this everyman kind of Keaton-esque guy who just wants to make people happy to make people feel better.
Yeah, I mean, sure.
A realist, Bigelow says studios hunt for commercial directors because they can get them relatively cheaply for DGA scale. And he also missed the birth of his third child, Eli.
No. For this piece of shit?
For this movie.
Oh, my God. Oh, man. Amin, would you miss the birth of a child for Wolves Magic on a Tuesday night?
No. No way.
All right. Four writing credits on this one. Rob Schneider has story, screenplay, and character credits for this movie. He also has writing credits on Sports Illustrated Swimsuit 97, the original Deuce Bigelow movie, The Animal, Hot Chick, and The Chosen One. Harris Goldberg has character credits here. He wrote on Deuce Bigelow, the original. He wrote on Master of Disguise and Without a Paddle.
Future Cinephobe, Master of Disguise.
Future Cinephobe, Without a Paddle.
Sure, both of them. I know Jake Christie really wants us to do Master of Disguise. And then David Garrett and Jason Ward have screenplay credits. They wrote some episodes of the Jeff Foxworthy Show, Corky Romano, and the show Living with Fran, which is a Fran Drescher sitcom.
And Malcolm and Eddie Griffin's show.
Oh, there you go. There's a connection.
There's a connection.
Synopsis for European Gigolo. Deuce is tricked again into man-whoring by TJ, only in Amsterdam, while other man-whores are being murdered in his midst.
Tricked?
Murder? It didn't even say murdered? There's a typo in the synopsis?
My thing just says murder. Let me double-check and make sure.
Read that again. Read that out loud.
On IMDb, it says murdered. So what the fuck happened there? Maybe I did it wrong. A weird.
Zach's autocorrect is acting up, man.
Tagline. Same hoe, new low. And one other tagline. For the women of Europe.
Hold on. Did you hear it, Mace?
Other tagline. For the women of Europe, the price of love just got a lot cheaper. I like same hoe, new low. You didn't like that, Mace?
It is a new low.
So I just want to remind everyone, last episode we did, Johnny B. Goode, $22 million estimated budget. Deuce Bigelow, male gigolo, $22 million estimated budget. Same budget.
Both one-time directors.
Let's point out some differences. One movie was made in 1988. The other one was in 2005.
Right.
Right? Number two, one movie was shot almost completely, probably on a soundstage, if not like in a residential neighborhood. The other one was shot in Europe.
Right.
In Amsterdam.
In Amsterdam.
Right. One movie featured cameos from people you've actually heard of.
Wait, that football player who worked at the gas station, that doesn't count?
The sad football player.
Tom, what's his fuck? Whatever his name was.
Tom Selleck's roommate.
By the way, I listened back to that episode and we didn't pick up on something. How the guy works at the gas station, but he was really proud that the university got him that job. Like it was a fucking marketing job somewhere. It's a gas station. You could have got that on your own, you dumb fuck.
And he's been there a while.
Limping.
He likes filling up the gas.
Okay, $22 million estimated budget for this movie. Gross $22.4 million U.S., $45.1 million worldwide. That's a hit.
Happy Madison strikes again, man.
Do you think it's just a name brand thing at this point? Or do people actually, have they tapped into a vein of endorphins that they can release in the brains of millions of fucking imbeciles?
There is a group of people that really fucking love everything Adam Sandler. His stuff seems to trend whenever it comes out, and for the good reasons.
He gets the clicks. That's why Netflix dropped the bag. But the original Deuce Bigelow, $17 million budget, $92 million worldwide.
Yo, you know how, like, but that must be part of the equation too, right? Like, we'll never ever blow out the budget. Because if you made 92 mil on a 17 mil budget, there's no way I'm coming back with 22 mil as my next budget.
Right.
I'm coming back with, like, give me a $50 million budget.
Absolutely. That would be the move. Before listening to the rest of this podcast, Deuce Bigelow, European Gigolo is available on Stars. On Rotten Tomatoes, 9% from critics on 100 reviews. And 33% from the audience on over 194,000 ratings. Amin, do you want the positive or the negative reviews?
My head hurts after watching this movie, so I'm going to go with, give me the positive. Maybe that'll alleviate some of this tension in my brain.
Well, everybody's just thinking about the negative. Well, I think the glass is half full. Everybody thinks it's half empty.
Luke Y. Thompson of New Times. Deuce may be the only role Schneider will ever be good in, but that'll do. Wade Major of Box Office Magazine. Unfortunately, tacky and tasteless comedies are not often taken seriously, making it rare that they're accorded their just due for anything that they may do particularly well.
The fuck does that mean?
I don't know.
Deuce Bigelow, European Gigolo, is the martyr for all raunchy comedies.
Fred Topple of About.com. It's so wrong at times, like the throat hole, but they milk it to the point of exploiting hiccups, so they're not relying on the easy jokes. They work for it. Do they, Fred?
I don't like milking that close to throat hole in a sentence.
Kevin Carr of 7M Pictures. This film redefines lowbrow humor.
That's not a positive review.
Michael Rechtschaffen of Hollywood Reporter.
He sounds like he should be a character in the movie. Michael Rechtschaffen. Rechtschaffen.
What is most annoying is the sequel's capability of inducing laughter, even as one hates oneself for so easily succumbing to the total silliness of it all.
This guy really had a sobering experience.
This guy had a long look in the mirror before he wrote that review.
People who use the term one to refer to themselves. One must. I hate people who do that.
Another possible character from the movie, Tom Long of Detroit News. It's good to know someone can still make a good, stupid movie. A movie that knows how to laugh at itself instead of merely catering to mankind's lowest instincts.
See, Dumb and Dumber is a good, stupid movie.
Yes.
This is not.
No. No. E! Online, no author. Either you're down with Deuce Bigelow or you're not. It's as easy as that. Not exactly a positive.
The motherfucker took his name off of that shit after he wrote it. That's why there's no author.
Bill Clark from The Balcony. Call me immoral, call me insensitive, call me lewd, but I laughed.
Bill, you're immoral, lewd, and insensitive.
And you're a fucking moron.
We have two user reviews, positive. User Sarantos F gave it 5 out of 5 stars. Funnier than the first, one of the best Rob Schneider comedies around.
Both of those could be true.
That's not saying much at all.
I don't know.
And then user Giannis V gave it 3.5 out of 5 stars. I like this movie a lot, obviously, even though I've never seen it before.
What? Yeah. What?
I love the obviously.
Obviously?
And give it 5 stars, right?
Who does this dude's audience?
I don't know.
I like the idea that it's Giannis Vantentekumpo.
It's the Dutch Giannis, the Dutch freak.
And it's Giannis with a fake mustache on and glasses. Obviously.
Wooden Nikes. All right, time for the negative reviews.
At this point of time, my thought on critics not liking stuff is, then turn it off, you fucking weirdo. You have so many options. People who watch an entire project to hate on it, man, it is so weird to me.
Paul Arendt of BBC.com. Moronic and repulsive.
You aren't lying.
Richard Roper of RichardRoper.com. Deuce Bigelow, European Gigolo, is the cinematic equivalent of a bunch of 13-year-old boys in a locker room repeating dirty phrases they've just learned.
I think he's over. That might sound like a positive review, actually.
Peter Hartlob of San Francisco Chronicle. At times, European Gigolo feels more like an international incident than a movie.
That's a funny comment because the movie is very, very topical of the day.
Does not hold up, though.
Does not hold up at all. Like, yeah. I have a strong feeling that I could show this movie to a young adult now and they wouldn't get all the references in there that are being made.
There's some trivia about Amsterdam changing their policies for what they allow to film in Amsterdam after this movie. So I would say that guy's correct.
This movie made them stricter about this. Roger Moore of the Orlando Sentinel. Least imaginative of all, the TV commercial director they hired to film it. Yeah, his name is Bigelow. Mike Bigelow. That must have been a real knee slapper of a meeting.
I mean, I feel the same, man.
Jason Anderson of Globe and Mail. Schneider has little to offer as a leading man besides a goofy grin and a willingness to be sprayed with bodily fluids. That's pretty accurate. And then 3 more quick ones. John Monahan of Detroit Free Press. Just call it Hustle and Low.
Wow.
Wow.
You, sir, ought to get a fucking golden dumpster for that fucking review.
Nope, put it on the list, Mace. Janice Page of Boston Globe. That would be our first review golden dumpster. That might be history right there. Janice Page of Boston Globe. Sorry, Deuce fans, but Schneider's faux sexy alter ego is back with a thud, not a bang. Roger Ebert of Chicago Sun-Times. We can just tattoo this on our
legend
on our bodies here. Aggressively bad, as if it wants to cause suffering to the audience.
There's so much more on Roger Ebert.
That is definitely a great cinephobe catchphrase right there.
Yes.
He gave it a 0, too, which is pretty rare for him.
I mean, first note.
Oh, my God. This is an all-timer. I can see the taint hair on this guy. When he gets up and he walks towards the window, I see the taint hair.
It's really, like, frizzed out.
I would have rather seen his cock than seeing the taint hair.
Well, it's also confusing too because we don't see anything else. I didn't see balls or anything. I just saw taint hair, and it's long.
Yes. Did he have his ball sack and dick taped upwards on his midriff?
Right.
While his taint hairs.
While he combed it out?
Well, yeah, were combed out or picked out with a hair pick and maybe perhaps some product. Was the hair and makeup department working on his taint hair? Has he been growing his taint hair all his life? And this is just how long it is.
We've got blue skies and credits right away. We pan down to some kind of mansion or there's a cottage or something. I don't know. And a hot girl in bed wakes up and we see that man's taint hair with the words, not Deuce Bigelow's ass.
Not Deuce Bigelow's taint hair.
It's the ass of a blonde guy. And he's getting dressed as a car pulls up. The hot girl says, my husband, looking at the man outside, and says, thank you for last night. She gives him money as a man walks up to a house. The gigolo is putting on his suit jacket as the husband walks up the stairs, so he pulls like an Assassin's Creed parkour down a good 25 feet.
Yes.
I couldn't, like, when he landed, I thought he had to have broken his leg.
Or at least shattered something.
Shattered something, right? What's the longest you guys think you've ever dropped to the ground?
Okay, so I locked myself out of my apartment in LA once, and you could get up on the roof and then drop down to my balcony from the roof. And that was probably like 12 feet.
Jesus
and
Christ.
I hurt my knee, limped to my couch and called into work and said, hey, I did a really stupid ass thing. So that's probably the highest.
I fell off the roof of a two-story building.
What?
But I landed on something in between and then rolled off of that.
What? Some more. You Mr. Magoo? What the fuck does that mean?
Was this during your American ninja training?
No, this is when I was a kid, man. This is in Sudan. I was at my uncle's house. And like we used to climb outside on the outside part of the house to the roof. Right? It was just faster than walking all the way around to get to the stairs. And I got all the way to the top and it was routine. Like we did this all the time. And like I lost my hold and I fell. And I fell and like you know how those windows sometimes have like a shade thing over it?
Oh, yeah.
But it wasn't like soft like Indiana Jones cloth. It was like brick or cement or whatever. So I landed on that flat on my back and said, ow, and rolled. And when I rolled right off it and fell down the rest of the way.
Jesus Christ. All right. I went skydiving. Does that count?
No.
Okay.
That's falling with style, Zach.
He runs into a maid who then says, thank you for last night, and she slips him money. He winks. Then as he's driving out, a man with a machine gun stops him, goes to the car window, says, thank you for last night, gives him money. Dirty Little Secret starts playing, and he drives away.
So I won't lie. Like, all throughout, I was like, okay, whatever. And then when the machine gun guy walked up and said, thank you for last night, I laughed. I was like, well played.
I thought, clever. I liked it.
Also, question. Would you ever be a gigolo?
I wouldn't be opposed to it.
Maze?
We go with no.
Yeah, I can't do it for the same reason I can't, like, hire the services of a prostitute.
That's where I differ. I think, oh, someone wants to pay me for it? Yeah.
No, it's not about paying or not paying or getting paid. To me, it's about I need there to be an attraction.
Sure.
And I just can't, like, a business transaction cheapens whatever I believe the attraction to be. And so it doesn't work.
Yeah, it does. Absolutely. He pulls up to a train crossing and a big truck behind him starts pushing him onto the train tracks. He slams on the brakes and then the train smokes him. But as he's about to get hit, he does yell like a damsel in distress with flailing arms. I laughed. I thought it's a dumb joke, but I thought it was funny.
It reminded me of the cold open to Mom and Dad. Amin, did you notice that somebody got murdered by a train in this time?
Yes, I did. And I immediately thought of Mom and Dad.
Okay, there you go. That's art. Cut to Malibu. And we have a news report of visually impaired senior citizens swimming with dolphins for the first time.
Oh, my God.
Two kids walk up to Deuce on the beach and ask him what this contraption is. He says 4 years of research, a technological breakthrough that might just save a life or two. It's there to prevent the beaching of cetaceans.
Did you guys notice who the white kid is?
Yes.
The white kid is the friend from Everybody Hates Chris.
Never seen the show.
And he was in Role Models.
And he was also in Role Models.
Who's he in Role Models?
He's one of the LARPers.
Yeah, he's one of the LARPers, yep.
And he says, the beaching of cetaceans, he says, that's whales for you and me. And the kid says, cetaceans, huh? That's a pretty big word for a man whore. He says, I'm not a man whore, I'm a fish enthusiast. I stopped man whoring when I met my wife. And the other kid says, my mom said your wife got eaten on your honeymoon because you tried to feed the sharks. He says, tell your mom I was trying to feed the turtles. I didn't realize there was meat sauce on the lettuce. That was not funny.
Future callback.
It's not, I mean, Jesus, that like that writing.
It's all the worst things. It's not funny, and it's exposition.
And it's too long.
And it doesn't make sense. Why is he famous?
No. The other kid calls him a he-bitch, and they take the device into the water. Then it goes off in the water as a visually impaired person is swimming with the dolphin. The dolphin takes off. Another dolphin attacks a woman. The dolphins just start going ape shit.
There is a close-up of a fake dolphin screaming that I sent you guys in the chat that all I could think of was the monkey dying in Lawnmower Man.
Spoiler alert.
I'm glad you had a positive kind of memory associated with this.
Deuce sneaks away with the device. He comes home and says hi to the fish in his tank. There's a prosthetic leg on some kind of shrine to his wife.
There's a newspaper headline, woman attacked by sharks, meat sauce on lettuce, and the body of the article is written in Latin.
The newspaper gag is a lot in this movie.
Newspaper and news reports.
Yeah.
Also, why would you commemorate that?
So I'm guessing the first one, his girlfriend has a prosthetic leg?
The one that he ends up with, I guess. She's
okay. Spoiler alert.
It's spoiling a movie that none of us have seen.
That's how it works. You can't spoil a movie you have seen. He turns on the TV. We've got a news report of three blind swimmers still missing. A blind woman in a fisherman's net says she hopes that man rots in hell. And then the reporter is talking to the kids who messed with him. And the kid says he tried to touch the kid's balls. Turns off the TV. He answers the phone and TJ is calling. He's in Amsterdam. It's like Disneyland for college students. It doesn't take much here to get Deuce to Amsterdam. Why did they need that opening scene? Why couldn't it have just been, hey, I came to Amsterdam. What's up? Because this doesn't come back at all at any point.
A much more realistic opening scene is my wife died because of the stupid reason that they wanted to come up with. And as a result, to get my mind off it, TJ says, come to Amsterdam, hang out.
Yeah.
Get your mind off it.
Turns the TV back on. There's a police sketch of him looking kind of like Steve Buscemi a little bit.
Kind of like Alfred E. Newman.
Witnesses reporting he's goofy looking and probably a virgin.
Time to go.
He's going to Amsterdam. Airport security is scanning his wife's leg. He accidentally grabs a black prosthetic leg off the x-ray machine. And the black guy up behind him says, sorry, I think there's been a mix-up. And he's got the white leg on. Deuce apologizes, and the guy says it's okay because he always wondered what it'd be like to be a white woman, wants to borrow the leg. Is that funny?
Well, they doubled down on the fake leg jokes. Quadrupled down, I don't even know.
He's walking through the plane and accidentally kicking people in the face with a prosthetic leg.
Because that's funny.
Also, like, where'd the shoe go? Because there's a shoe on it in the security scene. So he took the shoe off?
I think the black guy kept it.
That's racist. He's asleep on the plane. He's dreaming about when his wife got eaten by sharks, convinced her everything is safe in the waters of Mexico.
Is that a shot at Mexico?
Yeah, there's a lot of racism in this movie.
This is Mexico. They know what they're doing.
It's just not funny.
It's terrible.
Now we're in Amsterdam. He has an American flag shirt on and says it's going to be a great icebreaker to wear that. Then a stranger yells,
fuck you, American, you imperialist bastard!
I love America! I love President Bush! Thank you for bringing democracy to Iraq!
Shut up!
Oh, shit!
This is the start of a lot of references throughout the movie towards anti-American sentiments in Europe. And so if you're younger and you don't understand why this is happening, this is right after the U.S. invasion of Iraq. And so at the time, there were a lot of other nations that are usually our allies weren't quite for it. The super nationalist movement in America was like, oh, all these Europeans hate us and da 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 da. So they wanted to represent all that. This is around the time also we decided to rename French fries into freedom fries.
I mean, this is a very geopolitical movie. I did laugh because as she's falling into the water, she yells, oh shit!
That made you laugh.
And it made me think of Dip from Teen Wolf 2. A woman in a white shirt is cleaning the inside of a shop window. She asks if she got it all. He says that she missed the spot. Now she's rubbing her tits on the wet glass.
Puts them on the glass.
Other than the recurring joke that we'll get to later with the weather girls, we don't see a lot of titties either in this movie. So they kind of just wasted a good rated R for gross humor, basically.
He apologizes to his wife's leg and walks away. He then sees the red light district, says, what's with all the red lights? Wonder if all the if they know all their curtains are open. Ugh. So he's just supposed to be like a dopey guy. Like, I don't know the character. I just know he's a gigolo.
He's so naive and untraveled.
He sees TJ cleaning a boat called Pimp of the Sea. And it's got spinners on it.
It's a pimp boat. It's got spinning rims, which again, in 2005 was a very big thing.
What a reference, yeah.
Right. And it's on hydraulics, too.
There is a shirtless, jacked figurehead with Eddie Griffin's face doing the Wakanda Forever salute with gold chains.
And I wrote my first problematic.
TJ pushes a button, the hydraulics go on the boat, and I wrote, this feels racist. He takes him below deck, and there's just a shitload of water in the room below deck.
It's a float crib.
There's a toilet joke. Deuce says that he thinks he has a leak in the boat, and he says, nah, it's just high tide. Clever? No? No, okay.
It did lower later.
Did it?
Yeah. They didn't reference it, though.
Okay. You think that was like a deep cut like joke for them?
Maze will get this one.
I don't know, man.
As Rob Schneider and his writing partners, no. No one will get it. No. Maze will get it.
You gotta eat. You just do. You'll die if you don't eat. I promise you that. There's one thing I know about science. If you don't eat, you will die. And like Roman said in Too Fast, Too Furious, we hungry. So you're gonna go to the grocery store every day or every other day to make sure you got all these little ingredients and all this stuff. And oh my God, I forgot the onions. I don't have garlic. How did I not have garlic? I always have garlic. No, you don't have to do any of that stuff. With HelloFresh, it offers convenient delivery right to your doorstep for easy home cooking with the family. Not only that, but it's also going to give you the best variety of recipes. They got so many good things like Italian noodle soup. They got a plant-based protein ragu rigatoni bake. They got a hearty black bean and poblano soup for when it's cold outside. They got anything you want. There's something for everyone. Low calorie, vegetarian, meat and veggies. Two people, four people, three meals a week, five meals a week. Whatever you want to do, the packaging that HelloFresh uses to ship your food is almost entirely made from recyclable and or already recycled content. So you're not hurting the earth, you're helping yourself, and you're making it easy. You can keep your fridge stocked by adding extra proteins or sides like garlic bread to your weekly order. You really can customize it and keep a variety of spice, literally a variety of spice, any way you want it with HelloFresh. And let me tell you this. I got a deal for you. Go to HelloFresh.com/CTD80. That's HelloFresh.com/CTD80 and use the code CTD80 to get a total of $80 off five boxes, including free shipping on your first box. That is a deal. Not $18 off, not 1-8. 80 bucks off CTD80 at HelloFresh.com/CTD80. Get some food and make it good and use HelloFresh.
He asks about the leg. Deuce says that he brought Kate, might buy her a wooden shoe. TJ calls it creepy, says to move on. Then an Asian man comes down the stairs, hands TJ a newspaper, and it's a story on the gigolo killer.
I know more man whore, Lil Kim's position.
Says he doesn't want to work anymore.
Problematic.
TJ says, when your little bony ass had SARS, who got you out of quarantine? Go make me some money. And I wrote, that feels racist.
Problematic.
Then he says, no way. He'll take his 3 inches elsewhere. And then I wrote the note, excuse me, that feels racist.
Problematic. I'm just writing problematic all throughout this scene. Although, the whole SARS quarantine thing.
Yep, that was a nice little.
It's very of the time.
Very nostalgic.
And I wonder if we had done this movie last year, if the rental wars had happened a year earlier.
Oh.
We wouldn't really, like, yeah, I think SARS happened at that time, but quarantine with, you know, I don't think we would have fully grasped the magnitude of that statement as we do now.
So that's why you waited until now to make this selection.
All right, now TJ and Deuce are talking in a weed cafe. I guess coffee shop, about why TJ came over. He's explaining that the he bitches got scared. What kind of world do we live in where the streets aren't safe for male prostitutes? Waiter brings weed to them. TJ explains what coffee shops are there for. Cop comes in. Deuce freaks out. And the cop lights the joint for TJ and says, have a good evening.
Says it looks a little loose.
Again, these are all like references that in 2005 made sense that for an American to be shocked by the openness of marijuana use and how it's just basically legalized. Maybe our listeners on the eastern part of the country, you know, places like Florida and you know, we're in New York where like weed is still sold by shady individuals walking the streets asking you if you would like, quote, that gas, unquote. Right. But for those of us in the Western United States, like, this is super outdated.
Yeah.
Like his whole like, oh my God, the cops are here. Like, there was a time when weed was like this dangerous thing.
Deuce doesn't get high, by the way.
Deucey don't smoke.
Hugo Stiglitz comes over and TJ introduces him to Deuce. They're both gigolos and we can see an outline of a dick in Hugo's pants.
I didn't notice.
What?
Really?
There's a whole part where like Rob's head is right next to his dick and he touches it.
It's right next to it.
I think I was typing at that point. I didn't see any of that.
TJ asks him what he's been getting for a filthy Ramirez these days because he can get them more. Nobody pays for those anymore. Man Whore Awards are coming up, and TJ wants to know if he wants to win the Golden Boner. He says he's already won it twice. Just ask your ex-fiance. And he says, why you got to bring up Delisha like that? Prostitution's legal there. They got a dental plan. They got a union. If he had a he-bitch like Heinz Hummer, it would put him back in the game. They don't call him the Lord of the Wangs for nothing. I guess that's the Lord of the
topical.
Rings.
Yeah, yes, he's all topic.
Right. Yeah.
Right in the middle of the run, yeah.
All of these are like super topical references.
One Wang to rule them all.
Also, TJ can't have people thinking he's gay. He's got a reputation.
Problematic.
Deuce unknowingly eats a space cake, a weed cake. He's never been high before. Never going to be. Then Knights in White Satin starts playing. Lots of cake has been eaten. Deuce is smacked right now. He sees a painting moving, a Dutch girl inviting him to a windmill. And I wrote, this isn't really how weed works.
This is terrible. This is a terrible sequence.
It is a terrible sequence. But I did laugh as she said,
maybe you can help me.
Really?
I don't want a man who's chiseled and sculpted. I like soft and weak.
You do?
I want a man who's unemployed and went to a community college.
I am. And I did.
And you know what really turns me on?
What?
Is thinking about him in his tighty whities, sitting at his computer, and visiting different porn sites and taking the free tour with no intention of ever joining.
I don't have a credit card.
Another topical reference. People used to have to pay for porn.
Yeah, that was that. Actually, I laughed at that. I laughed at that. That's a funny line. She starts making out with him. He starts biting her chest. Then we cut back to reality and he's biting TJ's chest, not the girl's. Says, get off my titty, you doped up cracker.
Have you ever been with a lady who enjoys a hard bite?
Yes.
No.
I must say.
I mean, you dropped the ball there. You could have pivoted to like a pedophile joke. Come on, man.
I did.
Now we're not doing reruns?
I didn't think of it, to be honest. I was just, yeah.
He was too lost in his memories.
He's too lost in his memories of biting
some
hard
woman.
Like, look, I obliged. It's just one of those things where it's like,
it's uncomfortable because you don't know what is too far.
Right?
Like, did you break the skin?
Now who's an expert?
I got chompers.
They leave and TJ's mad about letting him look gay.
What'd I tell you about making me look gay?
His nipple is ruined now, but luckily he was born with a spare. We see he's got like a third nipple on his ribs or something. Then he sees an old guy. It's one of his hoes. Hines is in the alley and a dark figure pushes him against the wall.
Filthy Lopez, Cambodian creamsicle. Deuce can't reach Dutch. He says, new jizz fizz.
Deuce walks up to Hines, sees that he's dead, but he doesn't know that he's dead. He thinks he's just high. He carries his body to the boat, turns on the TV, and the weather girl is undressing. She takes off her top. Europe just got a little better. TJ says that Hines is dead. At this point in the movie, I found out his name was Hines and not Hans.
I also made that mistake. I don't know how I did that.
I just kept calling them Inglorious Bastards.
He slaps them. They hit him with a wooden clock. They drop a bowling ball on his head. Now he's dead. Deuce thought that he was just high. The man whore killer did this. TJ thinks the police will believe that he did it. He pulls Hines' body into a canal, but then he needs to see Hines' dick. He does, and he's impressed.
No wonder Delisha never came back. That shit's the real Loch Ness Monster.
Tourist boat comes by, and they start taking pics. He's trying to explain that he's not gay. Then he falls into the canal with Hines, and a news report comes on and says,
we now interrupt Naked Seinfeld for the special report.
The suspected man-whore killer has been spotted on the Prinsengracht Canal, attempting to dispose of his latest victim.
Oh, I being gay.
Cops take Deuce in to question him about TJ. Cops want to know why he was checking out Hines' dick.
This police inspector is acting his ass off.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's a real actor.
Your loyalty is impressive, sir. You've once been arrested for man-whoring, were you not?
Look, I wasn't really man-whoring.
Please, Mr. Bigelow. I've heard this 1,000 times. You were cold, you were frightened. He took you under his arm and fed you. He made you feel sexy. He taught you how to hide money in every orifice. But your friend is obviously a killer.
TJ's not a killer.
If he isn't a murderer, then what was he doing checking out a dead man's penis?
I guess he was curious. He heard it was big and juicy and wanted to see for himself. A lot of guys do that.
No, they don't.
Okay. TJ's gay.
Really?
Not normal gay, but, you know, crazy gay, you know. Musical theater gay.
Cop wants to know why he put lipstick on all his victims. Deuce remembers that he saw a woman in the alley in a leopard coat. Detective says that people see a lot of crazy things when they're high on space cake, and that's when Deuce finds out that he did drugs. TJ is hiding in Van Gogh's Chicken and Waffles. TJ says that assuming he'd be there is racist.
I know what they're going for, but it's just super problematic.
And Deuce says, but you are here. He says, yeah, but figuring out is racist. And then he says that Holland invented the combination. Black people are forever grateful to the Dutch for that. Deuce then reminds him that the Dutch started the slave trade. He says, those motherfuckers, and I wrote the question. Is Eddie acting his ass off?
I don't know, but I thought this was the smartest joke of the whole movie.
Yeah, I guess.
Wow.
I mean, I guess.
Redefining a low bar, remember?
Amin, are you all right? You sound real defeated.
Look, this movie wasn't good. There's one scene that I have that's the golden dumpster scene.
I'm really curious which scene you're going to choose.
Yeah.
Can't wait.
I legit laughed and like kept laughing.
That's the most suspenseful moment of this podcast for me is which one of those scenes will it be?
He sees the paper's headline. It says, man whore killer is at large, extremely gay. He's pissed.
Once again, the body of the article is in Latin and just it's not even worth counting how many newspaper headlines or news reports we have in this movie.
He says he'd be welcome back home as a murderer, but not gay. He could be a rapper or something.
Problematic.
A gay pimp? Where I'm going? Vermont?
Problematic.
Deuce says that he saw the real killer.
Was Vermont the first state to legalize same-sex unions?
Yeah.
Okay, see, again, that's one of those things that at the time...
Big deal.
Everyone would have got the joke. Instead, I'm sitting here, I'm like, wait, why Vermont?
TJ wants to find the She Johnson.
She... Why are you being so formal, Zach?
Well, wants to use... Deuce's bait wants to use his twatsicle. This movie's just how many ways can TJ refer to a dick?
How many fucked up names and weird sex positions can they come up with?
Taking Deuce to the man whore union. It's kind of a parliament setup. He shows a guy who can tie his shoes with his tongue. Another guy's nutsack is insured for $1 million.
That's Asapopoulos from Greece. He can actually kiss you with his butthole.
At the meeting, there's an old guy hating on Hines' memory. Says he was charging the same rate for straight sex as he was for a Turkish snow cone.
By the way, the guy named Rodrigo looks a lot like Mike Ryan.
He was also a supercilious cunt.
Also the same price for a Belgian steamer and a Portuguese breakfast. They're implementing gold rings that can go over their vaginas. And it links up to global satellites. Rings of all sizes available.
Cockring GPS. 2005.
Smaller rings for the Asian members. I wrote, racist. Norm says his name is McManus.
I joined this union some 20-odd years ago for two reasons. To have intercourse in exchange for cash. And two, to protect my rights as a man here. But 3 years ago, when this union told we man hares that we were to stop having intercourse with underage girls. I strongly disagreed.
But I did not stand up. I'm ashamed to say. I stood down.
And then, 3 months later, this union told we men hares that we were to begin washing our private areas between customers. Our private areas. And once again,
I'm ashamed to report to you, gentlemen. I stood down. But now, sir, for what am I to tell my 8-year-old boy when he comes to me and he says, Daddy, Daddy, what's that thing hanging off of your he-pussy? How am I to tell him, sir?
Because they managed to make Norm Macdonald not funny.
Is that hard to do?
Norm's funny.
What?
What?
You don't like Norm Macdonald?
Is this a Two Americas thing?
I don't think he's like always funny. I don't think that, man, he has like a 100% success rate.
Oh, he's like 95.
I mean, I'm Ted Ferguson till the day I die, but
man, I don't even think that's like in the top five of his funniest shit. Like, that dude is so funny and funny at being uncomfortable.
And not washing his he-pussy.
I'm ashamed to say I stood down. Norm's testimony sounds like every Trump supporter, right? Like, this idea that somehow, like, we let this happen and we let this happen. How am I supposed to explain this to my kids?
Deuce goes to talk to the union. He says that TJ isn't the killer, but as he says his name, someone yells homo and TJ's mad.
I have a weak spot for away from the microphone, off screen voices.
Oh, we know. You spend half this podcast away from the microphone.
You're right.
Clip that!
Maze wins that round.
Maze is right.
Says they can find out who the real killer is, and then he's thrown out the window, and TJ is mad that he didn't tell them he's not gay. It's time to go see an old friend, and somebody named Antoine that Deuce recognizes, and I wrote, should I know this guy?
It's the dude from The Mummy.
I meant more in the context of this world. I figure he's not the...
Who's the dude from The Mummy in Deuce Bigelow, Male Gigolo?
Deuce Bigelow Cinematic Universe? Yes. That's what you're asking about, Zach?
Yeah, the one that's made, like, you know, $150 million over two movies. That Jesus one.
Christ. Pure profit.
He hurts Deuce's hand on the handshake. He gives Deuce a list of the women from the Manhor Union. Antoine says Deuce must learn how to please a woman if he wants to compete with a European gigolo. And then he starts choking. But Deuce thinks that he's talking about using his tongue. And it's a lot of unfunny physical comedy of Deuce mimicking him here.
And it's supposed to look a lot like cunnilingus.
TJ runs, dives onto Antoine, and knocks a sausage out of his mouth or what, some kind of food. Goes flying into a woman's mouth. Deuce then says to get the list. It's in Antoine's pants. And Deuce goes to save the woman. Someone snaps a picture of TJ reaching into the pants. And we get the headline, Man Whore Killer Strikes Again. But didn't he save his life?
Even gayer than gayer we thought, than Man thought. Whore Killer Strikes Again, yeah. Zach.
Sorry about that.
When we get this headline, I was just thinking to myself, are we going to get one of our words soon? We're remarkably far into this movie waiting in this subject matter.
We get a couple of words here. We get a few. TJ says, can a brother stick his hand down another man's pants without setting up the...
Just clip it.
Faggot alarm.
Oh, there you go. Never mind. I was trying to save us.
Deuce gives a look like he can't even believe the word is being used. And I wrote the note, you did this, Rob. You're going to go over the list. They're checking out clients. A giant woman picks him up and carries him into the apartment. And we get the, that's a huge bitch.
Also off camera, so I left.
She's unable to have kids. TJ is sneaking around in the place trying to find her makeup. He sees fries. He says, that big hoe got food everywhere. That's kind of a funny line.
Wasn't as funny.
TJ accidentally drops the fries in the toilet, looks around, reaches into the toilet, and still eats it. Deuce is now dressed like a baby and has to baby walk to mommy.
Rob Schneider is a baby.
Rob Schneider is a Wall Street executive with everything going for him. Only problem is, he's about to become a carrot.
I'm a carrot.
It's 24 Karat Comedy. Rob Schneider is a carrot. Rated PG-13.
TJ is still eating toilet fries. She wants him to breastfeed off of her. TJ pulls his pants all the way down to pee. And this is just for the joke that then the cat can come over and attack his hairy balls.
Yeah, because when he came in, the cat was playing with fuzzy balls on a scratching post.
Oh, I didn't even notice that.
You have to point out that he asks the cat if it likes his big hairy balls.
Right. And now the cat is attached.
She always asks for consent.
And he's hitting the cat with the door to get it off of him.
Bad pussy. Bad pussy.
This is, there's something about Mary, the scene where the dog gets drugged.
Yeah.
Yep.
Detective pulls up to a weed truck. The guy's in trouble for unloading it there. I didn't get this.
Oh.
There's a great piece of trivia on this. But yeah, he busts a Pakistani man
But it's not because he has weed. It's because he's unloading in the wrong place. And there is some of the worst ADR, which sounded like Rob Schneider doing a Pakistani accent.
Yes.
But sir, it's my daughter's birthday. She's turning 13. We need all this pot for the party.
Inspector.
Basically, the joke here, Zach, is that, again, we're supposed to be like, oh, this huge drug dealer is coming in with kilos of weed. But it turns out, no, his crime is because he parked in the wrong spot. And he says, it's for my kid's birthday. She's turning 13 or something like that. Further kind of emphasizing that how liberal Amsterdam is when it comes to weed.
Great writing. Deuce brings up the potential lipstick matches to the detective, but the detective gives a full detail breakdown of the rare lipstick that the killer uses. And so I just wrote the note, oh, so he's the killer. Spoiler alert, sorry. Detective throws away the client list. He just wants to know where TJ is. A woman gives the detective his lunch. He sneezes and she slaps herself 3 times. Deuce goes to help her pick up her things and asks why, and she says it's OCD. Then a bell rings on a bicycle and she bites his arm. She has 130 weird habits. She's also got a painting of a Sudanese sweet lips, which is not a sex position, but rather a fish.
There's no such thing as a Sudanese sweet lips.
Maybe buy you a couple drinks, huh?
Hey-o.
Hey-o. All right, they go to an aquarium together. She can't touch doorknobs. She's drawing fish. Fred Armisen is smoking next to them. He's mad at Deuce over the U.S. government. Throws a cigarette into the fish tank. Deuce jumps in to grab it, hands it back to Fred, and Fred throws it back into the fish tank. So he jumps back in, and Fred keeps hitting on Ava. Says his penis is uncircumcised.
You have a nice ass.
Says his penis is uncircumcised. It's like a torpedo.
Why are there so many French accents in Amsterdam is what I wrote.
Deuce ties him up, puts the American shirt on him, gives him a sign that says America rocks, Europe smells like ass, and he's getting hit with bricks. And I wrote, callback!
Yes. Because they don't like us over there.
We find out the detective is Ava's uncle. Deuce wants to take her on a date. She screams in his face. The siren made her do it.
They just had a date.
Yeah, I mean.
How is the aquarium not a date? And then he's like, you want to go get coffee? Oh, a date. I have to get 5 different colored tulips, eat 2 herring, and drink a beer from a wooden shoe.
It's weird OCD shit, apparently. Then the accordion makes her smell her hands. And then Deuce dances around to make her look more normal. I don't want to be the one that breaks it to you, but you might stink. You might smell bad. You're always the last one to know if you smell bad, and that sucks, right? You don't want to be the smelly person. You don't want to be the smelly kid in school. You don't want to be the smelly adult out at a bar when those things really open up again, right? So you got to improve your self-care routine, and you can do that with Hawthorne. There's a lot of stuff out there you can be like, oh man, I don't know where to start. You start with Hawthorne. It's super easy. It's premium tailored personal care brand that makes it easy for guys to smell and feel their best. You take a quiz, they ask you things like, hey, do you like to go out at night to a bar, to a club? Do you want to just chill at home with Netflix? What kind of body wash? What kind of skin do you have? What do you like? Do you want bar soap? What kind of shampoo are you looking for? What matters to you? Do you smoke? Do you drink? What kind of drink? Do you like whiskey? They tailor everything to you. They boil it down from 500,000 combinations, and they find the product that is perfect for you. It's fun. I'm not really a cologne person, so I didn't get the cologne, but got the body wash, got the shampoo. You know I love my hair. I got to make sure that hair is on point. And I got the hand cream. We're washing our hands so much during this time. You got to make sure those hands are smooth and taken care of and moisturized. You do it by going to Hawthorne.co. That's Hawthorne.co. You take the quiz today based on the personal self-care routine. They're going to throw back products at you, and you're going to get 10% off with the promo code DINGS by going to Hawthorne.co. Promo code DINGS for 10% off your first purchase. That's Hawthorne.co. Promo code DINGS. You don't have to stink. Just think with Hawthorne. Woman pulls up to a table full of gigolos, wants a fix, but they're afraid because she might be the killer. One guy says he's got to judge a sandcastle competition. The other says the dog ate my penis. Man whores are mocking Deuce. We find out Deuce is bad at sex. There's a sneaky Castro sex move joke.
Chadsworth calls him douche.
They call him Deuce Small Below.
Not so big below.
Yeah.
You don't even know what a woman orgasming is like. And he replies, yes, it is. It's when she tells me to get off. Thanks for trying. Da da da. Just like, none of the. Oh, my God.
None of it. It's really lazy. Yeah.
People got paid for this.
Deuce is at another job. TJ is disguised as a robot impersonator.
He looks like a gold spray painted twin from The Matrix Reloaded.
Yeah. Okay. So these mimes are everywhere in Europe.
Awesome yep. Europe trip.
And they are by far the worst thing about Europe. These people, wow. You go, wow. By far. They stand on the corner and then they've got the hat out and you put money in the hat. And when you do, they'll move for you. And they make those sound effects and everything. It's so fucking dumb.
They're not the and worst thing about Europe.
What's the worst thing?
Nazi Germany.
That's Europe 80 years whatever. Ago. What's the worst thing right now?
Coronavirus.
Is coronavirus the worst thing that's happening in Europe right now? Worse than those mimes. I'm going to say no.
Okay. The woman has a voice box. She got fired as a phone sex operator because they were jealous. There's just a lot of voice box humor jokes here.
This whole scene with the woman with the throat hole.
Yeah.
Why?
Smokes a cigarette. It comes out the throat hole. She drinks wine. It sprays him in the face from the throat hole. Gives her the hiccups. It keeps hitting him in spurts. He gets her a job as a PA for the airport. I guess that's funny.
The next morning, she thanks him for a nice night. His suit is clean.
I don't know.
The PA announcement she makes, the white zone is for loading and unloading. There's no park in the white zone. That is a nod to the motion picture Airplane. Where at the beginning of the movie, the PA person says the white zone is for loading and unloading. There is no parking in the white zone. And the other PA person says the green zone is for this and that. There is no parking in the green zone. And then they start having an argument throughout about like, and it turns out that the two PA voices actually were dating at some point and had a rocky breakup. It's a fucking fantastic bit in Airplane. In this, movie, it's just no.
The couple's retreat gigolo is getting his ass bleached.
He wants to go Gwyneth blonde.
Bleach gets swapped out for something toxic.
This dude is dead for sure.
Now the gigolos are meeting and they're all lying to get out of work. One says he did the chili rainbow last night, so he's tired. The other one says he's got herpes. What are you going to do? The other one says, I just realized I'm gay. Any of you guys want a blowjob? And another guy says, I do. He says, well then, I better go put that penis in my mouth. I laughed.
But he didn't follow through.
No, he didn't follow through. They freak out at a champagne bottle popping. The old man whore says that Rodrigo has been killed and they're all scared.
Rodrigo, a.k.a. Mike Ryan.
Now Deuce is at a bar and sees the news report of the detective saying Scotland Yard has joined the search for the gay killer. They need to investigate a Russian client. And I wrote, is that the woman from the car? But turns out it's not, because this is a woman who is wearing a veil.
You skipped the part with the very, very problematic disguise.
Eddie Griffin, racist yeah, wig, right. Fake teeth combo.
Like a Jerry Lewis thing, right? Yeah.
I mean, it was, I'm just like, Jesus Christ. And it's not funny. That's the worst part.
None of it's funny.
I'm not trying to be like one of these, you know.
No, there's racial humor I find funny. This is not any of it.
Oh man, it's just bad, bro.
It's really, really bad and lazy and cheap. So the woman wearing a veil, she grew up in Chernobyl. Her mom worked in a nuclear reactor when she was pregnant. She has an appendage on her face. A male appendage.
Dick nose.
Yes, and as she flirts with him, the appendage gets hard.
Yeah.
Nose boner.
We get a lazy pianist penis joke.
I know it's lazy because we've made that same joke on this podcast.
Mm-hmm. Then they're dancing and the face dick gets hard. He's dodging it whenever he turns her head. Then she notices his cologne but is allergic to it. So she sneezes cum onto people and into a guy's soup and he eats it.
This is like movie 43 with the balls, except not funny.
Yes, right. It's like they watched that scene and thought, oh, we could make that funny. Deuce shows up to Ava's with all the items she needs to go on a date for her OCD. He's staying in Holland until he can prove TJ's innocent. Then he pulls out the prosthetic leg of his wife to introduce her to Ava.
He explains the situation so poorly.
Yeah.
But she's impressed.
Yeah, she finds this psychotic behavior endearing. She shakes the foot like a hand. Conversations and date montages. She gives him a 9 count on a Euro kiss, and it wasn't the OCD. It's because she likes him. Then we find out she's working on a porn set. All the guys are waiting for her to go to work.
A midget in a sailor costume compliments her work yesterday.
Little person. Deuce is apoplectic. He sees all the guys and a donkey lined up.
There's a donkey in a robe.
Tries to cut the line. Deuce punches a guy at the front. He forces his way onto set, throws the little person off of her and out a window into a canal. Then we find out the woman wasn't Ava.
When he throw, I laughed.
Oh my God. Wow.
Wait, you laughed at him being thrown, or you laughed at the perfect water droplet sound effect when he landed?
I laughed.
Wow.
It's problematic.
Wow. We find out it wasn't Ava, and the woman says that she agreed to 1M, not 2, as she looks at Deuce.
What's the M?
I already said it.
Yeah. Just clip that in.
Ava's... Mace in it.
Don't worry, I'll be the designated bad word sayer for you guys. Okay,
yeah, I keep leaving it hanging so you'll say it. Ava's job is painting as a scenic artist, which I didn't get it, but I guess it's just the point is that she's not doing porn.
Yeah, the camera wasn't even pointed in that direction, so great that you're painting this wall for no fucking reason.
It's for the next scene.
The little person comes back in and headbutts Deuce in the dick.
Speaks in Dutch.
TJ is dressed in a weed mascot costume.
Stoner Steve!
He tells Deuce to find the rest of the women in other countries. So now we got a traveling and man horror montage.
This montage and the whole, like, you gotta go to other countries in Europe is the part where they realize, we call the European gigolo, but he's only in Amsterdam.
Yeah. Oh, fuck. He's actually just a Dutch gigolo.
How do we make it more, you know, continental, if you will? Oh, we'll just do a montage of him going everywhere.
One shot of him on a train.
Yeah, one shot. Him hanging his head out the train. So one woman has a hump. One woman has massive ears. And I wrote the note. One is covered in hopefully mud.
I wrote, is this woman covered in shit? Does she have leprosy? All I know is that it's supposed to be in Venice.
Then the big woman is back and she has a massive, hideous baby.
This, what?
From their orphanage, right?
Yeah.
Problem child.
And then I think we know it's not mud because the guy washes her and she comes out of the canal hot.
Super hot.
He takes the dick nose girl to a plastic surgeon. When she comes out, she's got fake tits.
Still has the dick nose, just bigger titties.
TJ sees a poster saying he's gay and dangerous. Then he takes the big ear girl to a plastic surgeon and she gets fake tits but still has the big ears.
Eddie Griffin is looking like Michael Jackson and he's wondering for homo side.
TJ is disguised in blackface, but Deuce says he looks the same. It's racist. You think they all look the same. Then the Asian man whore from earlier distracts the security guard at the union headquarters so TJ and Deuce can sneak in.
Hello, Kim.
The man whore killer traps a guy in a tanning bed and turns it all the way up. They stole that from something, didn't they?
I don't care. It doesn't matter.
I don't care.
It's a dumb movie and it's a dumb scene, but it stood out to me for one reason. First, when he's dancing, I'm like, oh, my God, the wired headphones, there's wires everywhere. Then I look, it's like, what is it connected to? What is that thing he's holding? It's a Discman.
Discman whore.
Jesus. Like, I mean, think about this, man. 15 years and already, like, all the technology is just, what the fuck are you doing?
They go to where man whoring all started.
It's a museum of classic man whore art.
Painting of a guy who was the first to not shoot his load by thinking about sports.
This guy here, Baron von Doggy style, led a pimping expedition to the Arctic Circle, froze to death 69 in a moose. The only thing left of him is this stick, which he used to bitch slap Eskimos.
This brother here, Kunta Cuntlicker, the Jackie Robinson of ass licking.
This is TJ's Graceland, he calls it. Then Deuce finds a pic of the woman with the leopard coat. The man whores walk in and Deuce and TJ are propped up on the ceiling and TJ is farting. They think it's a bird until he finally just lets it rip. They come crashing down and they run away. TJ hides in the tanning bed with the burnt man whore and he's accidentally holding his burnt dick and gets arrested.
Anybody got any bacterial gel? I got burnt dick in my hand.
Another news report in his gayest murder yet.
This is so bad, man.
Homicide.
Deuce sees the leopard coat in her closet. It has a wig. It has the lipstick. Ava walks out. Now he's very nervous because he's worried she's about to kill him. Pours a drink. She chops wood dramatically. Deuce says that everything he's about to do is because he really cares for her, and she thinks they're going to fuck. Their signals are crossed. Dirty Little Secret plays again.
No, before that happens. Before that happens, you get Pretty Ricky.
Grind me. 2005, baby.
Yes, very 2005. Please clip it in, Nate, because it's just a great song. 2005 or not, I really enjoy that song. But I do have a question.
Yeah.
The woman you were involved with was suspected of being a serial killer.
Uh-huh.
What would you do in that moment of truth right there where she's just dropped all her clothes and headed to the bedroom suggestive?
Well, she hasn't killed her previous lovers.
So if a woman you were involved with or a serial killer, Maisie, just be like, but the sex is good and you just go ahead.
Hell yeah,
think,
man.
I think what
sex
I do
would be
is,
great. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, no, yeah. A crazy person like that, it would be amazing.
You guys are just having sex with serial killers. And
Zach and I are both ready to die at any moment.
Yeah, I mean.
If it's by a hot serial killer chick, are you kidding me?
Have you never had sex with a crazy girl before?
I only have sex with crazy girls. What are you talking about? I'm just saying serial killers, another level there. I don't know.
No, the move, Amin, is you're like, hey, maybe I tie you up this time. Then you have sex with her, and now she's trapped.
Wow.
Yeah. Handcuffs, baby. Describe.
Yeah, it's also called.
No, it's consensual. What are you talking about?
That's one for the... for the out of context xenophobe account. No, it's consensual.
Shout out to whoever made that account, by the way. That's fucking great. I really enjoy it.
And if you're sending us out of context quotes, don't send it to us. Send it to him. Send it to that or her or whoever's running that account.
At out of xenophobe. Look him up.
He escapes her place. He goes to the detective, says he knows who the killer is. And the detective says sooner or later he knew someone would figure out. And he starts grabbing a gun. And Deuce says it's Ava. And he puts the gun down. The detective is cluing him in that he's the killer, but Deuce is too stupid to pick up on it.
He's still acting his ass off. He goes Dutch Batman about avenging the once glorious Amsterdam.
What could she possibly have against man-whores?
Maybe because they represent a decline of this once glorious city, which has now become a new Sodom and Gomorrah for rich college kids to smoke hash, to fornicate with Venezuelan hookers, or to defecate on our historic cobblestone streets.
And then we look out the window and a Canadian is doing just that.
So fuck Mexico and fuck Canada. Got it.
At first, I thought the Canadian was an American because that was something they told American college students when they went overseas to Europe, is wear a Canadian flag on your backpack or something like that, because these, again, roving gangs of Europeans who are angry at America aren't going to attack a Canadian. But then later on, there's another Canadian joke, and I guess, no, it really meant to be Canadians.
He's loading, like, a massive arsenal of weapons into a man purse.
Yeah, he's got a bunch of, like, heavy-duty shotguns, like, yeah, like, tactical gear and everything. It's time for the Man Whore Awards, and they're covering it on TV, and Asipopoulos is there with his mom.
Tonight, the sexually inadequate men of Europe can breathe easy, safe in the knowledge that all of the continent's finest gigolos are right here under one roof, all asking who is going to walk away with the golden boner. I enjoyed that news report.
Okay. Ava finds a ticket for the awards and a model set up for the layout of the awards show as the detective walks in and tells her he's going to kill them all.
It's the 473rd annual Man Whore Awards.
She asks why, and he says, don't you see what's happening to our country? They look out the window, and a Canadian dude is pissing on a car, yelling, woohoo!
No.
I laughed.
You laughed at the second Canadian smash?
Yeah, because I just thought it was a funnier way of calling back to it.
Oh, man.
Spoiler alert, I'm going to laugh when it happens the third time.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. She says it's murder. He tells her he's going to blow up the stage with all the gigolos. He's going to pin the crime on Deuce. She won't let him. He fake sneezes and she slaps herself, puts a doorknob on the door, and it's going to keep her locked in the room because she's afraid of doorknobs.
I had forgotten she was OCD at this point because they hadn't done anything stupid in a while, and then she just opens the door, no problem.
Yeah, after, but she geared herself up, though. You could tell she took a deep breath. And
yeah, she girded her loins.
Yeah. Yeah, she girded those loins for sure, yeah. Deuce says he's going to the awards with the detective because that's where they think she's going to be. She opens the doorknob to come after them. TJ is in jail with other detained people.
Now let me give you all the lowdown on TJ. In Thailand, I got a job in a carnival sideshow, eating broken glass. We did 6 shows a day. That's a lot of broken glass. And it's all collected in the lining of my anus. My ass is like one big nasty cheese grater.
My ass is like one big nasty cheese grater. I laughed. A lot.
Also out of context xenophobe with that one for Amin.
I laughed so fucking hard.
Asipopoulos is performing on stage. Ava starts following the detective and Deuce on a moped. Deuce is saying she's right behind them. The detective is flooring it. She says he's the killer. He thinks that she said dealer. She says he's the man whore killer. He says 18-wheeler. Finally understands her, turns around, detective's got the gun pulled on him. All his life he wanted to be a gigolo. He'll never forget that day, and we get flashback.
To the first day at Man Whore University.
learning the Portuguese breakfast from Norm MacDonald.
Norm MacDonald is back. He's mixing an egg and drops it in the gooch. Don't forget the Canadian bacon. Mahmoud is there using a penis pump. He gives it to Gaspar.
As he's pumping, he finds out that his fiance is the girl in the demonstration. He keeps pumping until his dick pops. Everyone laughs at him. He gets his revenge tonight. Deuce starts fighting with him in the car. Car crashes. Ava crashes. Canadian runs up and pisses on the wreckage. He says, I'm from Canada, and I'm wasted. And I laughed.
There's clearly a male stuntman doing the stunt work for Eva. She slides the scooter. Yeah.
Detective grabs a bicycle. Deuce does the same. Award show is honoring the dead gigolos.
It's a manhor in memoriam in manhorium.
Every rose has its thorn starts playing. We get the burnt gigolo. We get Hines with the. Did you notice the outline of his dick in this one?
Then I did. Okay. I was like, oh, shit.
It was significantly bigger this time around.
See, it's a callback this time.
Yeah. Man. And then Adam Sandler is one named Javier Sandusky.
Which at the time is nothing, but now knowing Sandusky.
Right, yeah.
What happened there, it's... Yeah, it's kind of troubling.
Is this the cheapest cameo possible?
Probably, right? That's like, yeah, I'll do you a favor, but you got to take this like home video footage.
It's not even. It was a picture.
No, he's moving. Oh. What are you talking about? Picture.
Oh,
yeah. He's moving the whole time.
He's miming sex, I mean.
Norm MacDonald's at home watching, and his son found the dick locator device. Instead of being able to explain what it does, he just says, happy birthday, son. You've got a bracelet. Time for the Golden Boner Award. Deuce says to get off the stage or they'll all be killed. He grabs an award and says that he's the man-whore killer and that's a bomb. Everybody runs out. Detective comes down, kicks him. They've got a sword fight. The sword fight is awful.
With dick swords.
Dick swords.
Those gigolos robbed me of my manhood.
Deuce has his hand wrapped around the blade. That wouldn't work. Deuce says the detective can please a woman without his dick. The gigolos don't know what they're talking about.
Does the detective not have a dick anymore?
No.
Yeah, it blew up.
He exploded it.
Yeah, with the dick pump.
Which is his motivation for revenge.
Yeah, have you not been paying attention to this
and thus this
no,
movie?
I thought when you said it exploded, I thought...
Oh, like Kane?
Keep going.
Oh, okay. You thought he got mad
was
because
it a
he
mud
came
pretzel,
to his fiancé getting
snow
the
cone or
Portuguese
an Irish
breakfast?
Facial, I mean.
You guys both spoke at the same time, so I don't know what was that.
Deuce says a woman wants a guy to ask about her day and listen to her, or at least pretend to. The women nod. When she's hurting, ask how she feels. Cry with her. Gigolos are ripping women off. Voice box woman slaps the main guy and says that she faked it with them. We get one more visually offensive small Asian dick joke.
Mm-hmm.
Because we apparently can't have enough of those.
All the gigolos are stuffing their pants with zucchini, socks, and bananas, and Lil' Kim pulls out a Tootsie Roll.
He pulls out the detonator. They'll die together. Give me the detonator. No, my penis exploded. Okay, that's a tough one. I'll give you that.
They ruined my life. My penis exploded. Having a penis is way overrated. Trust me.
Penis face girl helps the voice box girl spray the detective with liquid.
This is their fucking plan?
And then Deuce knocks him out. Penis face girl trips and sticks her dick in the throat hole of the voice box girl. Everybody's grossed out.
I had a spidey sense, like I visualized it in my mind and I saw this happening. And now yeah. I understand why they made this movie.
You think this was the precipice?
Yes.
Okay. Detective is arrested. Man whores give Deuce the Golden Boner Award. Ava asks how much he charges for a kiss. First one's always free. As they kiss, he accidentally blows up the building. And I wrote, why was this necessary?
$22 million.
TJ's let out of jail. Do you think they were out? Like, they were like, fuck, we have a surplus. We got to spend this. Let's blow something up.
This is how you do it. You blow something up and you overcharge it. And then everyone pockets the slush.
Oh, okay. All right, TJ's let out of jail. Did anybody hurt him in there? No, it turns out he's not that attractive. TJ now wants to be referred to as gay. He's a gay man's pimp. He's cornering the market on this.
Six new gay Dutch hookers.
We get graphics now. TJ wasn't successful as a gay man pimping. So he became a rapper named MC Extra Nipple. I wrote, not funny.
He got shot.
Eva and Deuce were married, and I wrote, that's where I found out it's Eva, not Ava.
It's not just you. This movie doesn't know what
nobody
the fuck
knew.
The name is. Also, the whole Eddie Griffin becoming a rapper and then getting shot and all that stuff, I'm just like, yeah, it's fucking racist, man.
The detective became a man whore, finally, in prison, against his will. And I wrote, this is dark.
prison raped.
The Asian man whore got a penis enlargement procedure. It's now 4 inches, and I wrote, really? They needed one more joke?
33% bigger.
Dick-faced girl married a man with a vagina for a face. People vomited at their wedding. Then this one I laughed at. It shows Norm MacDonald, and it says Norm MacDonald wishes he still had his own sitcom.
Yeah.
I laughed. At
that too. Nice and meta.
The cat worked for food. By food, they mean hairy balls. And the fake leg became a bong for a Dutch woman. That's it. Not funny. Trivia time.
Oh, boy.
Rob Schneider personally asked Jerry and Krabbe to appear in the film. Literally begged him on his knees. After accepting, he sent him a big bouquet of flowers. He was flattered by all the attention and was finally persuaded to accept the role by his son Jacob, who was a big fan of the first movie. Schneider had nothing but praise for Krabbe afterwards, calling him the friendliest actor he had ever worked with. But Krabbe regretted doing the movie and has refused to discuss it ever since.
Oh, we should have got him as a guest.
Maze, you want to get into the media feud?
Yeah. Yeah, let's do that. So, Rob Schneider has an interesting habit here. Upon learning that the film received 5 Golden Raspberry Awards, he took out full-page ads in the trades, boasting that the film was nominated for all of the awards. He would later win Worst Actor. Then, the movie caused a brief feud when critic Patrick Goldstein panned the film and Schneider by suggesting that there should have been an Oscar for a best running penis joke delivered by a third-rate comic. Schneider retaliated, as he is wont to do, with full-page ads in Variety and The Hollywood Reporter, noting that Goldstein had not actually seen the film before attacking it and mocking his lack of a Pulitzer Prize, since there is no category for best third-rate, unfunny, pompous reporter who's never been acknowledged by his peers. Film critic Roger Ebert reacted to this in his negative review of the movie by stating that as a Pulitzer Prize winner, he was qualified to say, "Mr. Schneider, your movie sucks." Ebert later used "Your movie sucks" as the title for his collection of bad movie reviews, much to Schneider's chagrin. However, both men made amends when Ebert battled with cancer and Schneider sent him flowers with a note saying how important his reviews had always been for him. Ebert wrote how deeply moved he was by the gesture and expressed his genuine hope to see Schneider in a great film one day.
Damn, that last part is kind of fucked up.
It's also hilarious because he basically...
Because it never happened?
Yeah. He's like, well, I guess we're going to see it.
Not going to see it. Happy Madison moved to Columbia from Disney because they wanted the R rating. Disney wanted it to be PG-13.
It could have been. It really could have been.
I mean, I guess you don't get the cum joke.
Oh, shit. The movie doesn't work without that.
Rob Schneider lived in Amsterdam for 6 months prior to the start of the production. to do location scouting work on the screenplay, and he admitted that he made the movie just for an excuse to move to Amsterdam.
And there's your $22 million, boys.
He also realized that the film would not turn out well when his crew arrived completely high on drugs at 4 a.m. on the first day and kept using irresponsible amounts of marijuana during much of the shoot.
Yes, it's the crew's fault. I did notice that the sound was off and the cinematography could have been a lot better.
Rob Schneider twisted his ankle while filming the sword fight scene. The footage can be seen in the DVD making of featurette. Narsingh Balwant Singh, who played the Pakistani man unloading a truck full of marijuana, earned 400 euro for his brief part, but had already lost that same amount of money on his way to the set after being fined for tailgating.
Oh, no. Oh.
So the man who played a person getting a traffic violation in a movie got a traffic violation because he was so in character.
Yeah, that's heartbreaking, actually.
This movie was 6 years after the sequel, or after the original? 6 years?
The word manwhore and its variations, manwhoring and manwhores, is said 47 times throughout the course of the movie. Eddie Griffin verified in an interview that a really old stuffed cat was used during the cat scene. Oh, shock. And I couldn't confirm this, but apparently to promote the film, Sony held a Man Whore of the Year contest with Maxim magazine in Las Vegas.
Sure, why not?
Jesus Christ.
Sadly, no Tony Medley.
Golden Dumpster nominees, The Hustle and Low Reviewer, Fake Dolphin Face, Inspector Gaspar Wurzbach, Donkey in a Robe, The Man Whore Hall of Fame Scene, Lil' Kim's Tootsie Roll, Dick Nose Fucking Throat Hole, Rob Schneider taking out full-page ads in the Hollywood trades.
Who wants to go first here?
I'll go first. It's the fake dolphin face for me, because when I sent you guys that picture, I really wanted to go phobe, but I held off.
Wow, what a trooper. Zach, what do you got?
Let me see.
You picked it, motherfucker.
Oh, fuck. I don't know. Can I give the golden dumpster to racism?
Yeah.
All right, I'm giving it to racism. There's a lot of racism in this movie.
My golden dumpster was the scene in prison where he talks about eating glass.
Wow!
Wow.
When he said, and it's all been collecting in the lining of my anus, because I didn't know where he was going with it. He's talking about being in a carnival, eats glass 6 times a day. I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about? And then he says, it's all been collecting in the lining of my anus. I legit had to pause the movie because I laughed so hard. I was laughing so hard because it was the perfect misdirection. Like, I didn't know what he was talking about. And then he says, and all that glass has been collecting in the lining of my anus. I was just like, oh, he's trying to discourage them from raping him. And I laughed. I legit had to pause the movie.
Okay.
Just to get the laugh out.
All right.
The cheese grater ass was cut to with no context. We had not seen him in jail. It was a 30-second scene, and then they cut right back out of it.
Amin, you picked it, motherfucker, so.
I did.
Fob or file.
You know, again, I thought I would have enough things in this movie to like so that I could be annoyingly like, oh, you know what, I'm going to file it, whatever. But, like, just going through and all the problematic things from little people to black people to Mexican people, Asian people. Women. I mean, it was really, really bad. And by the way, let's just set the record straight. The stereotype is that white people got small dicks, right? So, like, I like how they went all the way to an Asian character who literally only exists for that one joke over
and
over again.
For that one joke, like, 9 times.
Yeah. So, I can't. Yeah, I watched it and I thought to myself, and I'm going to leave it up to you guys. But I thought to myself, there's no way this thing can't be a triple red. I got to phobe it.
Maze?
I was prepared to phobe it as soon as I saw that dolphin. I tried to maintain, you know, positive vibes and, like, find things to talk about. But I would have been more than happy to do this podcast in, like, a tight 45 minutes. It's a phobe.
Yeah, good thing we only went an hour over that.
Us go long on a podcast? Never.
I too watched this thinking, oh, to like really piss Amin off, I'm going to file it, right? Like just thinking like, ah, I'm gonna go in, I'm going to be upbeat. And I did laugh at a couple of jokes here and there, but there's no way. I have to phobe it. It's not okay. It's not okay at all.
There you go. It's triple reds.
3 straight sweeps.
And the sandwich is complete. Well, at least we're on the same page, boys.
Yeah, it's true. No, we've never been more in line than this.
Next time we make love, you introduce me to Jade.
Next week, Zach.
Well, I'm curious. How do we think the listeners are doing?
I mean, I think we don't have listeners anymore. We're pretty much doing this pod for us three.
Because I get the sense from the Discord and a little bit from Twitter, they're catching a lot of shrapnel here in the rental wars. I'm curious. Like, I legitimately can't tell, like, if this is good or not.
I'll tell you, it's not good.
It's not good.
This is terrible podcasting.
Is it?
I mean, like, as far as like appealing to other people, yes, we are not doing a good job of that.
So I do want to throw a bone to the listeners, but I cannot do it until Amin admits defeat. And so we march on. We march on in this game of Risk of the Rental Wars. I have no idea if it's available anywhere. But are you familiar with the movie That's My Boy?
Oh, yeah, it's on Netflix.
What?
Are we just going Sandler movies now?
Is it
now
the freaking Rental Wars or is it the Happy Madison monstrosity?
It's the Sandler Wars. It's a Sailor Wars.
Sailor Wars.
That's what we're doing. And much like in Star Wars, like the Dark Lord of the Sith came from out of nowhere. We at least expect it is Adam Sandler. He's our Palpatine. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Rob Schneider, derp de derp. Derp de derpity derpy derp. Until one day, a derp a derp a derp a derp. Derp de derp. The Tiddly Toad. Oh, whoa, whoa, whoa. From the creators of Derp. And come to Tiddly Dumpadurp, Rob Schneider is da derp de derp de tiddly derpy derpy derp. Rated PG-13.